Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here from our Intentional Living Center. This is the second part of a program. We're talking about getting on the same page in your marriage, and it made me think about, I was sitting in a board meeting in the past, and I can remember I was looking at one of the reports that we were going over as a board, and the rest of the board was looking at their book and their report, and what they were saying didn't make sense with what I was reading, and I was thinking I was misreading it or misunderstanding what was going on, and pretty soon it became apparent that we were all reading from the wrong page. And that creates a lot of dissonance and confusion. Now, we corrected it quickly and got on the same page, but you know, in marriage, that can go on day after day after day, not being on the same page in your marriage. And so we're going to continue that discussion today about what are you doing, or one thing that you're doing, or one challenge you have when it comes to getting on the same page in your marriage. While today's program is a best of and the calls are already set, we'd welcome your comments live today on our comment line when you call 888-888-1717. One thing you're doing to try to get on the same page in your marriage, and what difference is that making? All right, let's go to our first caller from Teresa, who last month hear how she relates to this topic, who called us in the past. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for accepting my call, and thank you for your program. It's such an awesome ministry.
Well, thank you. We're glad to do it. Appreciate it. What's your question today?
Well, where do we begin when you're not on the same page for anything? But I feel like it's because we're not on the same page walking with Christ, our spiritual walk. My husband says he's a believer, but there's no walk. There's nothing is a walk. No going to church, no acting, no, you know. And I don't know where to begin because I feel like I'm growing bitter.
Mm. Yeah, and you know where that leads to, don't you, Teresa? The reason the scripture teaches us not to allow a root of bitterness to develop in our life is because of exactly where you are right now. And so you're wise to call and want to talk about that. We come back to this level of expectation. And I've seen this over the years where we have two people married. One is a believer and the other is not. And the believer prays for and loves the non-believer, and then the non-believer becomes a Christian, but maybe not experiencing their faith the same way or not on the same page. And all of a sudden, there's a level of expectation. We're supposed to now both be believers, and we're not the same level. And we know that whenever we have expectations for another person, especially our spouse and for our kids and people we love, whenever those expectations are not met, it creates disappointment in the relationship. So I would encourage you to, whenever you feel that bitterness coming, because my guess is it gets painful, is say, Lord, forgive me. And then pray specifically for your husband. You may have to do it 5 times a day, 10 times a day. Pray for your husband that God will move in his life, and keep the focus off of trying to change him, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not the Holy Spirit for our spouse, clearly. Okay, let's continue on here. Oh, Jennifer. Jennifer wants to respond to a caller that we had before, Viola, who called me, and God bless her. She and her husband have two different approaches to celebration. You know, she goes all out for birthdays and anniversaries, and her love language, as she said to me, was more along the line of, you know, words of affirmation and doing things, where her husband's love language is around touch, which is not unusual, by the way. And so her birthday comes and goes, and she has an expectation of a great celebration. And she said, I've told him this, and she's hurting by it, and she feels hurt by it. And we got a lot of comments that came in, including Jennifer, who's on the line in Arizona, who wants to respond to that. Jennifer, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You heard Viola when I talked to her. What do you say to her if she's listening?
Actually, I've been through the exact same situation. My husband is the exact same way, and I spent a lot of time in prayer and asking God to give me eyes to see my husband the way he sees him, because I knew in my spirit my husband loves me, as I'm sure Viola's husband loves her. And what I had to do was really readjust my expectations and be intentional about communicating with my husband in terms of, you know, what I need. And I did read The Five Love Languages. It's an excellent book, and that was very helpful. And for me, I made some adjustments in my marriage. And really, first, it was recognizing who my husband is. He brings different giftings to the marriage than I do. He's his own person. And so, much like Viola, when birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries come around, I tend to be somebody that kind of goes overboard in the celebration. My husband is the complete opposite. And I really just did kind of a check in terms of I like to call it equal opportunity. He wasn't treating me differently. He's that way with his inner circle, all the people he loves deeply, mm-hmm. He's the same way. So this is just who he is as a person. And for me, it was, if I wanted to go to dinner for my birthday, I would let him know, this is where I want to go. I'd send him a link. This is the restaurant. And I'd like for you to call and make the reservation. So it was just kind of an adjustment of how I approach things, kind of scaling back. We always acknowledge each other with a nice card and maybe a small token gift. But it was me needing to make some adjustments in the relationship and not coming to the table expecting him to be just like me.
That is a really offensive to some women who are listening, thinking, I mean, he should know that. But you've come around to the fact that if you stay stuck there, then bitterness does follow.
Exactly. And so it was an intentional choice of mine not to be that person.
Right.
I didn't want to go grow bitter. I didn't want to grow resentful. And so I knew in order for me not to be that person, I needed to change. And part of that process also was me recognizing all the million little things that he does right for me that most people would take for granted. He does a lot of little things right that I appreciate. For example, he makes my coffee in the morning. My husband doesn't drink coffee, so that's just something that's for me. And so recognizing the little things that he does that are specific just for you, that are right and good, and just embracing that gift and blessing, and really just learning to appreciate him for who he
is,
and recognizing that I just needed to make some changes in the relationship. You've always got to pray about it. Keep God at the center of all of it. Ask God to give you eyes to see him the way you do. Ask God to change your heart about your husband so that you don't grow resentful, because then you give the enemy a foothold.
Absolutely.
And the enemy is not going to have a foothold on my marriage.
Good for you. Listen, Jennifer, what you're reminding us of is perspective. It goes back to what I said when we talked to Viola on another program, that it's so easy for us to focus on the pain point in our life. And I think I mentioned in that show that very morning I had hit my toe on the door casing getting up in the morning. And it was still painful 3-4 hours later. And I could once you start focusing on the painful little toe, it's kind of like your whole life is overtaken by the little toe. And it's easy to focus on what our husbands or what our wife is not doing that we want them to do, or an expectation that we've set, instead of focusing on the things they are doing. And one of the ways that we grow in our relationship is to make sure that we're appreciating it and being focused on the things that we're thankful for. And when those things occur, to intentionally make sure that we are showing appreciation. All right, we're going to take a quick break, be back. We've got Jody on the line with a question about, they both were using drugs. She's clean, he's not, apparently. What does she do when they're not on the same page with that, right? That's the question. And then we got a Facebook live question from Kate. What do you do when your husband isn't on board with tithing? All right, a couple questions we'll get to in a couple minutes here from Intentional Living.
Hi, yes, this is Rainbow down in Tucson, Arizona. And the next great thing I'm doing for my family at home is I no longer complain about my husband. I took a 30-day challenge to not say one negative thing about my husband. And with that, I have found nothing but joy and have found myself not complaining about anything. It has definitely made my family better, stronger, and we've never been more happy. Thank you for Intentional Living. Praise God. Amen.
Indecision. We've all experienced it. You have to make a choice, but you don't know which way to go.
Yes and no really are intentional words. They're powerful, they're directive, they're clarifying, they're energizing. Any number of choices come down to the intentional living power of saying yes or no.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, The Power of Yes or No, you'll learn to move past indecision and effectively navigate life's tough choices by living an intentional life and saying yes to the things that matter. When you say yes to supporting intentional living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And you know, when you join us in support of the ministry, you make sure that you get access to all of the teaching you hear referenced from month to month. And of course, not only that teaching, but the archive filled with just really practical material content, things you can use, share with your pastor. It might be an encouragement to him as he's putting sermons together. But it's our way of saying we love you guys and we want to help you in the process of living intentionally. It's our gift to you. Speaking of gifts, in November, between now and the end of this month, for each person who will join us in monthly support of the Ministry of Intentional Living, or if you can't do that, you could share a single gift of $100 or more. I want to send you the same 2026 calendar that my wife, we have right here in our home that we're going to be using. It's our 60-year Experiencing Hope calendar, and it's our gift to you. All you have to do is go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
We're talking same-page marriage today. Our phone lines are open to you, 888-888-1717. Or if you've been watching us on Facebook, you can post your comments there as well today. As we talk about getting on the same page. Speaking of Facebook, here's a comment from Facebook Live from Jerry. And I hear you, Jerry. Jerry says, I'm hearing all the women saying how their husbands, what they're doing, but yet not once has God's word given to them or the question asked, are you being a helpmate or a hurtmate? I'm dealing with a wife who lectures me on trust, yet turns around and does things behind my back, creating distrust, yet will never admit that she does anything wrong. Let's start with God's direction, respect first. How many times does Paul write this, and how many times does God say, wives, respect your husbands? Wives are helpers, not bullies. He states one time husbands are to give their lives for their wives. Five times, wives, respect your husbands. Now, there's an open line for you to comment on. Maybe you have a thought on that. What I will say to you, Jerry, is there's no secret that you and your wife are not on the same page. And you're right. We tend to, when we have programs like this, we tend to get more calls from women who are addressing issues in terms of not being on the same page with their spouse. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's sensitivity, awareness, more a willingness to call. I don't know. But you're pointing out that these things do cut both ways. And that's why it's so important that we get back to what the Bible teaches. If we were just practicing what it says in Ephesians 5:21, where we are to not only respect, but it says there that we are to submit to one another out of obedience to Christ. And the whole book of Ephesians, I don't know if you've studied Ephesians much, but Ephesians is broken into, and I don't want to get into a whole message here, but just to say the book of Ephesians, where we often go, where it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect and reverence your husbands. And we get into that discussion, but what we don't realize is that whole passage begins with a therefore. And so what Paul is saying is, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, all of these things that are true for those of us who are believers, therefore, husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husband. So I would really challenge you, if you want to take a few minutes and really study Scripture, maybe take the next month and really study Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Here's what it says. He redeemed you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He made you alive. He saved you by grace. He made you for good works. He adopted you. He chose you. And those are all the references that you'll find in those first three chapters of Ephesians. And then Paul says, therefore, husbands, love your wives. And the reasons we're to love our wives, guys, and why is the reason you're to respect your husband is because God said so. And what happens in our sinful world in which we live, it's really hard to do. It's really tough. Okay, let me get back to some calls here. We've got Jody is on the line in Arizona. Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
My husband and I have been together about 10 years, and when we got together, we were both using. Mm-hmm. And I'm clean now. I had to finally just do it on my own. We tried to get clean together so many times I can't even count. But every time we went back, and so I finally did it myself, and he's still using. And he's been in and out of rehabs. He went to prison for a year, but the second he gets out, he's back to using again. I keep telling him I'm going to leave him. I threaten him. I kick him out. But I love him. I don't want to give up on him. I know I can't fix him, but I'm worried about my sobriety. I'm doing great now. I'm going back to school.
Good for you.
But I'm worried about him overdosing because he's careless.
Well, Jody, you have obvious love for your husband, and as you know, there'd be a lot of people who would say, hey, I'm just out of here, would walk, would get out of the relationship. And there are people listening who've done that, and it's understandable because you need to protect yourself, take care of yourself. You don't want to get dragged back into that lifestyle. Here's what I really just practically encourage you to do. I'm sure you have a support system. You need to be in a support system where there are those who've been through what you're going through, can share with you intentionally what their experiences have been and the steps that you need to take to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You're praying for your husband. You want the best for him. And whenever I hear calls like this, I just think about in our culture what has happened, how drugs have destroyed so many families. And unfortunately, we're seeing thousands of people whose lives are being taken as a result of drugs today, the kind of drugs that are illegal and or even prescription drugs. We know the opioid problem now with thousands of people whose lives have been taken as a result of it. I do know this, that, and you know this too, Jody, that continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result doesn't get you there. And the fact that there needs to be points of intervention where things are brought on the table and expectations are clearly stated and there are consequences for all behavior. And so to that end, obviously, those are things you need to get some help with. You need to get some support in a very practical way with people who've been through this. And we'll be praying for you. Terrible. Pray for Jody today, okay? All right. That's right. We did have a question, didn't I? I mentioned that Kate asked a question on Facebook. What should I do with my husband who isn't on board with me on tithing? Hey, listen, I've gotten that question a lot over the years, Kate. And now I'm assuming you're both believers. Maybe not. But I've always encouraged people who have this question, two things. One is don't ever go behind the back of your spouse to do something. You're saying, hey, I'm obeying God by tithing, but I'm going to lie to my husband or my wife. God doesn't want that. That doesn't make it right. So never be dishonest. The second thing is to be able to go to your husband and say, honey, I can hear that. Maybe you don't see the reason for it. It's not important to you. It just seems like we're taking money out of the bank to do that. It's important to me because of my faith and what God's doing in my life. And I want to do this out of obedience to Him. Can you trust me enough that we go through the rest of this year? Allow me to tithe, you know, and I'll help you manage the money. Let's manage the money together and let's test God. Let's see what God will do as a result of me being obedient in tithing to see where we are at the end of the year. And if you, if at the end of the year, you don't think that's something we should continue, then I will back off on that. I would love to hear how that turns out. A couple thoughts for you. This is intentional living. When you're not on the same page, what do? That's what we're talking about. And I was thinking of Robert Frost. He illustrates this well in that very famous poem where he talks about the road not taken. And he closes that last paragraph of that poem. He says, "Two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Yes to one, no to another. Can't be both. We try to do that in our culture today, and look where it gets us. Turn on the news today. You got people today who are being accused of all sorts of things because they said yes, 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 yes. You can't do both. It's like two towering oak trees standing in the fork in the road. One is yes, one is no. And which you choose is going to make all the difference in our lives, in your life, in my life. We are here today as a result of the yeses and nos in our life. Boy, that's so true. I know it's true for me. At this stage of my life, my wife and I will often kind of reflect on our past and decisions we made or didn't make, and maybe some things we'd do a little differently if we could go back. I don't know. We're thankful for where we are and thankful for all that God has done, but we don't want to live in the past because that can create all sorts of regrets, and that's not where God wants us. But I'll tell you what, if you turn around and look out the windshield of that car of yours, right in front of you is like that fork I mentioned, a fork in the road, and you either have to say yes or no to the directions that are there. And the choices you make, the choices I make, will make all the difference in our lives. And that's what that lesson's all about. It's available, by the way, to our members. It's part of our special site that we have up on our website for members, those who support the ministry regularly. And you should have a code to be able to get access. And by the way, if you don't, please let us know. And when you join us monthly today in response to the ministry, we'll make sure you get that right away, so you can receive access to all the teaching, and I encourage you to share it with others as well. And I mentioned earlier that I'm getting a chance here in November to mention we have a brand new 2026 calendar from the ministry created by our team. Beautiful pictures, the kind that you want to put up on the wall. And I'm old-fashioned enough, we still keep a handwritten calendar as well as our digital camera, our calendar. And I want you to know that this 60 years of experiencing hope, reflections on God's goodness calendar is something that'll be just an encouragement to you. So when you join us in monthly support, whatever God lays on your heart, or share that single gift of $100 or more, we'll make sure you get it. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button there, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and click number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com and hit donate. All right. Last month, we had a chance to talk to Jackie, how she and her husband were really not on the same page as it came to their autistic son. Boy, did we get a lot of response. In fact, I want to share one of those right now. So we welcome Ken to the program. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
You know, my heart broke too as I heard Jackie's testimony, but it also brought to memory a show that 60 Minutes did, and they still follow the autistic boy. A single mother had a son. She was a model. She had a son that was autistic, brain damaged, the doctors told her, and blind. The father left and didn't want to be involved. And someone had given her a gift, the baby, a gift at Christmas time, a little piano. And she soon unwrapped the gift that God gave her. You know, I want to encourage Jackie that, you know, the world says that these disabled children are discardable. But I'll tell you, it's a hidden gift that you have to unwrap and find out what it is that God has given you.
Well, I think you're pointing out again, Ken, that it's easy for us to focus on the disability of a person instead of their abilities and their strength. You get parents, though, too, and here's an 18, I think he was 18, the son with autism, and it puts so much strain and stress, but when that couple comes together and stands together and realizes that they can set some goals together to help their son become all that he potentially can become in life, instead of focusing on what isn't right, to focus on what is. It's a good reminder. All right. Ken, I appreciate your call today and reminding us that every life is worth living. Every creation of God has a meaning and a purpose, and yes, we need to continue to stay focused on that. So I'm glad you're listening today, my friend.
Thank you for the show, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. All right.
You're welcome, and we'll be here for you. By the way, I just want to say on behalf of those of you who do support the ministry, when you hear the stories, and we get lots of them that come, and they're left on our comment line, or we get them online or whatever, people saying, thank you for the show. We got many on Facebook today. That's why we're here. And it's because of your support that stories like this one is possible. Did mom agree with you on holding them to task on this?
Well, it was tough for her because you got to realize these are her biological children.
Yeah, so you were the one saying, hey, you can come back, but only on these terms.
Yes, only on certain conditions. You know, I'll give you grace where I believe the Lord is at, some boundaries, but at a certain time period, when that grace is over, you know, you're going to have to leave it, and we'll just hope that the Lord will provide it.
And you and mom were on the same page. I mean, you ended up on the same page.
It took a while, but I mean, eventually we did. Her heart turned before the Lord and realized that this is the man that I'm married to, and your children are going to be gone. And when you go, my husband and I are going to remain as one. So it was tough, but it was very beneficial, and it had me to grow up, you know, really had me to face responsibility as a man.
So many stories, and that's what we're about. We hear your stories, and we can see how intentional living could make a difference in Christ and the difference it makes in trusting Him. And then, as the Bible says, leaning not on our own understanding, trusting God, and then He'll direct our path. That's the powerful thing. All right, getting on the same page. It's important for sports teams. It's important for countries. And it's certainly important in your marriage and your family. Just a couple of things. I want to say thank you to those of you who've been praying for us and supporting this ministry. Your faithfulness is allowing us to do this every day. Thank you. Come and be a part of it. Go to theintentionallife.com. Secondly, and most importantly today, this is Veterans Day. And I want to say a huge thank you to the men and women who are listening and families, and maybe those who have serving now or served in the past, as many have had in our family throughout history. And so we're so appreciative of those who are serving today. We got a very dangerous world in which we live, and we're so thankful for those of you who are willing to sacrifice so much in defense and protection of this country. And God bless you for that. On this Veterans Day, we salute you, take our hat off to you, and remind ourselves, because of your service, we can continue to be free. Thank you for that. All right, we got to run. We'll be back tomorrow with more intentional living. I hope you come and join us. Thanks for being a part of the ministry and for your prayers. It means an awful lot. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it remains a ministry of Intentional Life Media.